Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 896, Adbhuta. A well-known word, one of the secondary rasas in the scheme of rasas, bhakti rasas, is Adbhuta, which gives the sense of wonder. A synonym is Ascharya, something which is wonderful. Bhuta means to be or which comes into being. And the prefix Ad gives the sense of suddenness or so something which happens suddenly or suddenly we are inspired with a sense of wonder. Parashabhata, continuing his description of the present series of names in terms of the archira, the marga, the path by which the conditioned soul in the material world becomes liberated and goes back to Godhead in Vaikuntha, he explains, now he's explaining how the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, accepts and receives the previously conditioned soul, who is now liberated, he's now a mukta jiva, how he receives the liberated soul in the spiritual world. And this name, Adbhuta, refers to the experience of the liberated soul in relation to Vishnu, that he's always, Vishnu is always delightful to enjoy, always something wonderful. You don't get tired of him. He's always as if you just saw him for the first time. So his name is Adbhuta. Baladev Vidyabhushan, as previously explained, closely follows Parashabhata in unwrapping this series of names in terms of the jiva going to the spiritual world. He describes this name, Adbhuta, means that he, Vishnu, Krishna, astonishes the mukta jivas, the liberated souls, by his amazing qualities, forms, and pastimes, which are at every moment new. There are similar statements in the Divya Prabandhams, which V.V. Ramanujan, who is a sub-commentator on Parashabhata, has extracted for the transcendental pleasure of the devotees. Translations are given here. Oh, where did I see him before? Maybe in one of the Divya Kshetras, the holy places on the earth. Oh, maybe I didn't see him before anywhere. Even though you're seeing him again and again, the feeling is, oh, so wonderful, astonishing. And then again, from Divya Prabandha, from another, I can't properly define him. He has a divine chakra, the disc in his hand, and the golden bow called Sharanga. Yeah, I can say that, but I can't fully define him. And then again, from Divya Prabandham, this is from Tiruvai Moli, Lord Narayana, who delights in performing wonderful acts. He takes pleasure in doing things which astonish his devotees. For him, they're very ordinary, but he takes pleasure. He's a show-off. He likes to show off his wonderful acts. What are his wonderful acts? Adbhuta Karmana. This is a name which comes several times in Srimad Bhagavatam, or it's a description of Krishna. Adbhuta Karmana. He performs amazing, wonderful, as if unprecedented activities again and again. What are his wonderful activities? He helps his devotees, okay, but he also helps his enemies. He comes for the benefit not only of his devotees, but for his enemies. He assumes different kinds of forms and different kinds of avatars. You wouldn't imagine that the Supreme Lord would take the form of a boar or a tortoise. So you wouldn't, many so-called spiritualists, or the spiritualists, they don't agree that the Supreme takes any form at all. What to speak of the form of a pig or a tortoise or a fish. But he takes any form as required to assist and uplift his devotees and delights them immensely. The delight, the pleasure the devotees take in seeing his adbhuta karmana, his unmeasured or astonishing activities, the delight, they're always getting more and more delight. He comes as Vamana, who is very pleasing to see, such a beautiful little dwarf Brahmana, that even the demons, they were also charmed by his appearance. But then, that in itself is one adbhuta karmana, that he comes in a dwarf form, even though he's the greatest of all. But then he shows his greatness, his adbhuta karmana, his astonishing activity, by raising his one leg and then another, with his arms out and spreading all over the worlds, and quoting again from Divya Prabandhas, despite all these wonderful activities, he spreads all over the worlds as Vamana, but at the same time he is occupying a seat in my heart, which is even more amazing, how he can be Anoraniyan Mahato Mahiyan. He is the smallest of the small and the greatest of the great. Shankaracharya quotes from Kathopanishad in this regard. Shravanayapi bahubhya yo na labhya shrinvantopi bahavo yang na vidyuhu. Ascharyo vakta kushalosya labdha. Ascharyo gyata kushulanushishtaha. Now this is referring to the Atma, and it's a very similar verse from Bhagavad, very similar to a verse from Bhagavad Gita, which Shankara also quotes. Srila Prabhupada, in his explanation of these verses, takes Atma here to mean the individual soul, which is quite fitting according to context in the Bhagavad Gita. But Shankara, and also among the Vaishnava commentators, at least Madhva also takes it to mean the Supreme Soul. In relation to Vishnu, if this verse is taken in relation to Vishnu, it can be understood, Shravanayapi Bahubhya, even after hearing many, many times, he cannot be gained. You can't get him simply by hearing about him many times. You can't know him by hearing again and again. He is attainable by hearing, but at the same time you can't understand him properly. There may be many great speakers who are very expert in describing him, but very rare to find someone who can actually attain him. And it's very rare to find someone who can actually explain him. Bhagavad Gita verse in this regard that Shankara quotes, very similar to the Kathopanishad verse, and actually in his commentary on this Gita verse, Srila Prabhupada quotes the same verse from Kathopanishad. From Gita, chapter 2, text 29. Ascharya vat paschati kaschidainam. Ascharya vat vadati tataiva chanyaha. Ascharya vat chanyamanya shrinoti. Ascharya pyenang vedana chaiva kaschit. It is astonishing to see him. Someone may, well, actually Srila Prabhupada translates this a little differently. Some see him as amazing, some hear of him as amazing, some speak of him as amazing, but he cannot be fully comprehended. He may be seen by the eyes, heard by the ears, spoken about by the mouth, but he will always be fresh and new always. There is none like him. Therefore, Vishnu is Adbhutam. He is Adbhutam. Wonderful, amazing. The amazing verse. Some see him as amazing, some hear of him as amazing. This is how Prabhupada translates him, translate it. And again, Srila Prabhupada translates this verse in relation to the individual jiva. What is this jiva? Although others translate it in relation to Paramatma, who we're discussing now, Vishnu, Adbhuta. He's wonderful. He's the wonder of all wonders. Even wonderful people are struck by wonder upon considering him. One chapter in Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada titled that Wonderful Krishna. He's the super wonder. He's above all. He's the source of all wonders. He is the oldest of all and still ever fresh. The very concept of wonder originates in him. Everything or anything that is wonderful or magnificent is simply a reflection of the attributes of the wonder who is he. And that we were discussing in the last talk, that Krishna says about himself that what is the use of so much talk? Kim gyatena tav Arjuna? How much can you know about me, Arjuna? Because ekangshena stito jagat, with just a little spark of my splendor, is how Srila Prabhupada translates it. He manifests and maintains everything. So his pastimes are, his avatars, they're all inexplicable. We can understand to some extent. They're full of wonder. And great rasa is generated by him being simultaneously the greatest of all, and sometimes showing that he's the greatest of all, but a lot of times speaking and acting as if he were ordinary. This juxtaposition, or not juxtaposition, the simultaneous existence of himself as the greatest and being very ordinary is something which is not logically understandable, but it is appreciated by great devotees. Well, there are so many examples, how he is seemingly henpecked by his wives. Each one of his wives in his 16,108 palaces in Dwarka thinks, he's with me only, he stays with me only, I'm his favorite. He's the controller of everything and everyone, but he acts as if a henpecked husband under the control of the love of each of his devotee wives. So everything, his activities, how many dimensions? In string theory, they talk about 11 or more dimensions, but we can't imagine any dimensions beyond 4. Unless you want to throw in thought as a dimension, consciousness. But he's multidimensional, has multiple forms, multiple powers, multiple abilities, capabilities, accomplishments. It's almost impossible for us to imagine or to even begin. We may think we know something about him, but really he is Adbhuta, wonderful. Achintya, no. Achintya doesn't mean we can't think about him at all, but it means we can't Chinta gives the idea that which is conceivable, that we can think about. So we can think about him, but we can't wrap him up in a box, so we can't capture him all in our minds. There is a particularly Western, or even more particularly Protestant, theological supposition that God must conform to human ideas of rationality. And the great Western scholars, who are of course in the know about everything, man is the measure of all things, but that particular, well, that really means that Western men from Western universities are the real ones to tell everything to everyone. So this idea that God must conform to human ideas of rationality has been foisted upon religions everywhere, with the implication that other religions, not Christianity, particularly not Protestant Christianity, they don't live up to the standard of rationality set by Protestant theologians, and therefore they must be inferior or just plain wrong, or if you really want to put it in classic Christian language, works of the devil. Well, one way in which theists try to uphold the rationality of the acceptance of the existence of God in the face of atheistic blasts is to point out that it certainly appears that this world works with rational intelligence behind it, and that human intelligence can discern rationality within the universe, suggests that this, or indicates that the supreme intelligence is rational. If human beings have rationality, which seems that they can, humans can apply their intelligence to try to make sense of everything. And if we think that humans, man is made in the image of God, so probably God's rational also. Okay, those arguments are good. However, a defining quality, if we say that God is rational, okay, all right, we have no problem with that. However, a defining quality of God is that he is independent. He can do as he likes, and he's not obliged to conform to whatever notions that humans might want to impose upon him. So it's not incorrect to intuit that God is rational, but, and of course Vaishnavas accept this, but we also say he's rational. We can be understood to some extent by rationality, but it should be understood that he's also supra-rational. His rationality transcends ours. He's not constrained by the laws of nature which he himself institutes. He can flout them at will. He is a chintya. He is the source and upholder of all rationality and all rational systems, yet he is above and beyond it also. So it might not seem rational that God appears as a boar, or for that matter as a two-handed cowherd boy, or a four-handed child in the prison house of Kamsa. But he doesn't have to be rational. He doesn't have to obey the laws of nature, or what we think the laws of nature might be. It's a funny thing that Christians and Muslims especially, many of them say that God is beyond human reasoning. Yet they reason that God cannot be a person, and particularly they say cannot have any form. He can't have a form. It's reasonable to say that God cannot have a form. Well, why? You say God cannot, then you're immediately trapped. Of course, if you say that God, can God make a square circle? That's not a reasonable or rational proposition. That is simply wordplay, because the very definition of a circle, we can perceive that there are circles due to the rational intelligence given us by God. The very definition of a circle is that it's not square. Anyway, that's another big topic. Adbhuta. Every day in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, on the order of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, we sing prayers to Lord Narasimhadev, in which he is referred to as Adbhuta Shringam, Adbhuta Shringam, which means that his nails are like wonderfully pointed nails. Adbhuta Karmana, I said this term or the name comes several times in Bhagavatam. This is, I'm going to give a few quotes from Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Text 1. He is called Adbhuta Karmana because, reading the translation of the verse, due to the mercy of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Adbhuta Karmana, Maharaja Parikshit, though struck by the weapon of the son of Drona in his mother's womb, could not be burned. Ashwatthama sent the Brahmastra to kill the embryo of Uttara, that was to be Parikshit, that the Brahmastra can destroy the whole universe. It was aimed to destroy this one child, but Krishna did the amazing activity, Adbhuta Karmana, of neutralizing that weapon. Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, Text 8. Nunam Bhagavato Brahman Harer Adbhuta Karmanaha Durvibhavya Mivabhati Kavibish Chapi Cheshtitam. O learned Brahmana, the transcendental activities of the Lord are all wonderful, Adbhuta Karmana, and they appear inconceivable because even great endeavors by many learned scholars have still proved insufficient for understanding them. Canto 3, Chapter 10, Text 10. Vidura inquired from Maitreya, O my Lord, O greatly learned sage, kindly describe eternal time, which is another form of the Supreme Lord, the wonderful actor. Adbhuta Karmana is here described as the wonderful actor. Adbhuta Karmana in the 8th canto refers to Vishnu's form as Mohini. Again in the 8th canto, summarizing Vamana and his pastimes, which are certainly very wonderful. Again, in the 8th canto, the term is applied to the first incarnation of the giant fish. So that is Adbhuta Karmana. In the 10th canto, referring to Krishna's pastime of dancing on the hoods of Kaliya snake, that's also something very wonderful, so it's called Adbhuta Karmana. Then, I'm going to read the Sanskrit of Canto 11, Chapter 3, Text 27 and 28. Shravanam Kirtanam Dhyanam Harer Adbhuta Karmanaha Janma Karma Gunananam Chat Tad arte kila cheshtitam ishtam dattam tapo japtam ritam yach chatmana priyam daran sutan grihan pranan yat parasmai nivedanam. One should hear, glorify, and meditate upon the wonderful transcendental activities of the Lord. One should specifically become absorbed in the appearance, activities, qualities, and holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus inspired, one should perform all of one's daily activities as an offering to the Lord. One should perform sacrifice, charity, and penance exclusively for the Lord's satisfaction. Similarly, one should chant only those mantras which glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all one's religious activities should be performed as an offering to the Lord. Whatever one finds pleasing or enjoyable, he should immediately offer to the Supreme Lord, and even his wife, children, home, and very life air, he should offer at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Elsewhere in Bhagavatam, we have Adbhuta Karmana, referring to Balaram. Adbhuta Vikrama is in the first canto, referring to Balaram. In the first canto, Uttama Shloka Charitani Adbhutani, he is praised for his superhuman activities. In the second canto, we have Adbhuta Krama, which means more or less the same as Adbhuta Karmana, one who performs wonderful activities. Then we have in canto 6, Adbhuta Darpana, the wonderful manifester, the one who brings into being in a wonderful way. This is canto 6, chapter 5, text 17. Pancha vinshati tatvanang purushodbhuta darpanaha. The Supreme Lord is the reservoir of the 25 elements, and as the Supreme Being, the conductor of cause and effect, he causes their manifestation. In translation given by Srila Prabhupada, the word adbhuta here hasn't particularly been brought out. Canto 7, chapter 10, text 10, spoken by Sri Prahlad Maharaj. Om namo bhagavate tubhyam purushaya mahatmane harayed bhuta singhaya brahmane paramatmane. Here we have Adbhuta Simha. This Prahlad Maharaj is praying to Nrsimhadev. O my Lord, full of six opulences, O Supreme Person, O Supreme Soul, killer of all miseries, O Supreme Person, in the form of a wonderful lion and man, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. We find in the 10th canto, Akrura also, when praying to Krishna, refers to various avatars of Krishna, and he also refers to Nrsimhadev as Adbhuta Simhaya. Akrura says, Namaste Bhuta Singhaya Sadhu Loka Bayapaha Vamanaya Namastubhyam Kranta Tribhuvanaya Cha. Obeisances to you, the amazing lion, who remove your saintly devotee's fear, and to the dwarf Vamana, who stepped over the three worlds. In Canto 11, Krishnam Adbhuta Darshanam, describing the city of Dwarka, where the demigods saw Krishna, the wonderful form of Krishna, seeing whom is simply wonderful. Elsewhere in Bhagavatam, many times the term Adbhuta is used to refer to devotees' activities. At the beginning of Madhya Lila chapter 5, we find in the beginning of each chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, although most of the verses are in Bengali, the opening verse of each chapter is in Sanskritam, composed by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So he describes the wonderful activity here of Sakshi Gopal. Padbhyam chalanya patima swarupo brahmanya devo hi shataha gamyam deshang yayo viprakrite bhute hung tung sakshi gopalam aham natosmi. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of God, Brahmanyadev, who appeared as Sakshi Gopal to benefit a Brahmana. For 100 days, he travelled through the country walking on his own legs. Thus, his activities are wonderful. His Bhagavad Gita is also Adbhuta, so for that reason, he should also be called Adbhuta. As Sanjay says in summarizing the Gita to Dhritarashtra, this is at the end of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 74. Ityahang vasudevasya parthasya cha mahatmanaha sangvadam imam asrosham adbhutam romaharshanam. Sanjay says to Dhritarashtra that recalling that wonderful discussion between Vasudev, Krishna, and Partha, the great soul. When I recall that wonderful discussion, Adbhuta, then my hairs stand on end in astonishment. Srila Prabhupada's translation, Sanjay said, thus I have heard the conversation of two great souls, Krishna and Arjuna. And so wonderful is that message that my hair is standing on end. Two verses later, Sanjay again says, in repeating himself, he's so struck with wonder. Rajan sangsmritya sangsmritya sangvadam idam adbhutam keshavarjuna yo punyam hrishyami cha muhur muhu. O King, as I repeatedly recall this wondrous and holy dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I take pleasure, being thrilled at every moment. In Gita, we also find in the 11th chapter the description of the Vishvarupa, the universal form, which is also described as Adbhuta. This word Adbhuta comes in the 10th verse. I'll read the 10th verse and the 11th verse. Aneka vaktra nayanam, aneka adbhuta darshanam, aneka divya bharanam, divya neko dhyatayudham, divya malyambaradharam, divya gandhanulepanam, sarvascharya mayang devam, anantam vishvato mukham. Arjuna saw in that universal form unlimited mouths, unlimited eyes, unlimited wonderful visions. There we have it. Anekad bhuta darshanam. Unlimited wonderful visions. The form was decorated with many celestial ornaments and bore many divine upraised weapons. He wore celestial garlands and garments, and many divine scents were smeared over his body. All was wondrous, brilliant, unlimited, all expanding. Then, again in the 11th chapter, the Vishvarupa, the universal form, is referred to as the Adbhuta Rupa, the wonderful form. And then again, right at the end of Bhagavad Gita, just the penultimate verse, we have again Sanjay speaking to Dhritarashtra. Tatcha sangsmritya sangsmritya rupa matyad bhutang harehe vismeo me mahan rajan hrishyami cha punah punaha. O King, as I remember the wonderful form of Lord Krishna, this, the commentators say, particularly refers to the Vishvarupa, I am struck with wonder more and more, and I rejoice again and again. Madhvacharya, in his Tatparya Nirnaya, he quotes this verse, or he gives this verse. Imani karmani raghutamasya Hare Vichitranyapina Adbhutani Duranta Shakterata Chasavai Bhavam Svakiya Kartavyatayanu Varnyate. Referring to Raghutama, the best of the Raghus, Lord Rama, although the activities of Rama are Adbhuta, they are Adbhuta in one way. They are vichitra, extraordinary in one way, but another way they're not adbhuta, they're not astonishing, because he is Duranta Shakti, he is the Lord of immeasurable prowess, so it's natural for him to be astonishing. So he's astonishing, but on the other hand, well, it's not astonishing that he's astonishing, because he is by nature astonishing. Work that one out. And Madhvacharya says, I simply consider it my duty, therefore, to describe his glory by narrating these pastimes. In this Duranta Shakteye term is also spoken by Lord Brahma, praying to the Supreme Lord. Natosmi anantaya Duranta Shakteye vichitra viryaya pavitra karmane. Vishvasya sarga stiti sangyaman gunai svalilaya sanda date vyavyatmane. Lord Brahma prayed, my Lord, you are unlimited and you possess unending potencies, Duranta Shakti. No one can estimate or calculate your prowess and wonderful influence. For your actions are never polluted by the material energy, through the material qualities. You very easily create the universe, maintain it, and again annihilate it, yet you remain the same without deterioration. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So practically every description of the Supreme Lord, and there are endless, unlimited descriptions of him, every one of them is Adbhuta. Therefore, we read Gita and Bhagavatam again and again and again. It's ever fresh because it's always astonishing. Satyadeva Vashishta gives the meaning Ad, the prefix, Kadachit Bhavati Iti Adbhutam, who sometimes comes into being, who occasionally appears, is called Adbhuta. Sannapi abhutam eva iti artaha. So, he occasionally appears. That's the Supreme Lord. He occasionally comes. But he's not present at the same time. So that is astonishing. In the sense that he is among us all the time, but we are oblivious to this. And for us, practically, especially those who are not blessed by the gift of bhakti, the world goes on as if he doesn't exist. So he's always existing and as if not existing. So it's Adbhuta. He comes into being occasionally. Occasionally the materialist might think something about him. Another meaning, Raghunath Tirtha, gives a completely different meaning, that the Ad refers to food. Bhogyam anadikam bhavati asmat iti adbhutam. The grains, various foods which is, they exist for sustaining life, because of him. There's an upcoming name, Anada, he who gives food, to which this understanding of the name Adbhuta is connected. So, Krishna willing, when we get through to the name Anada, we'll discuss that in more detail. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas chakripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya churnakang padayani padjikrit vacha kakushatam etad aham bravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad goranga chandra charne kurutano ranaha. Parivaditu jano yata tata va nano mokarona vayang vichara yamaha. Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Bahar pu rang natavarava pu karnayo karnikaram vibradvasa kanaka kapishang vajiyantin chamalam randhran venur adhara sudaya purayan gopa vrindayar vrindaranyang svapadaramanam pravishad gita kirtihi. Shri Radha Yaf Pranayamahima Kidusho Vanayai Vasva Yoyen Adbhuta Madhurima Kidusho Vamadiya Sokhyang Cha Syamad Anubhavata Kidushang Veti No Bhad Tadbhavardha Samajani Satchivarpa Sindho Harinduhu Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada ki jai.